This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0. A chance of a shower this afternoon or evening with light winds. Monday morning fog. Possible a few showers heavy towards the afternoon and evening. Nor-easterlies. Sunset this evening, 7:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:29 a.m. Oh, it's all go. It's 25 degree high today. At the moment, it is sitting on 22 degrees in the city. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column comment. History for March 22. Deaths, births, events. New Zealand Hit Parade. Chartorg.nz. March 22, 1978. Before 2 p.m., we have American politics, the world through the eyes of Gary Schofield. We have ports and other bits and pieces from Dane Porter. And also, we also have Trevor's talk before 2 o'clock this afternoon, shortly joined by Mel Driscoll here at Free FM 89.0. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. Well, this week there was a lot of talk about what went on in the private life of New Zealand Labour leader and former Prime Minister Chris Hipkins. Now, of course, there's been a lot of talk through the media, especially through online media. There's some online platforms who've really had a go at Hipkins and him crying. Well, he can cry all he wants. He has been put through the ringer this week, and one of the people giving him hell is on an online platform, which I won't mention. But this man, a former politician himself, in both in Parliament, has been making some comments about Chris Hipkins. But this man has a history himself. I won't name him. You've got to look up Wikipedia when it comes to a person called Antoinette Beck. Yes, a person called Antoinette Beck. Well, that person didn't even exist. A secretary was under orders to falsify documents under their name Antoinette Beck. This man also fell foul of the late Jim Bolger because he didn't trust him. He put his own county, Hawke's Bay, before the National Party. He called opera singers fat. He called a former Governor General of New Zealand a fat Indian. He also didn't want H to go in Whanganui. He also called the late Tongan King a bloated brown slug. So I think, of course, the BSA did not take any action on that particular comment. So when you get down in the dirt, you have to look back at your own name. Look up Antoinette Beck on the internet and you'll find out who I am talking to. Yes, this man has a history of trouble elsewhere. So, yeah, so that is Antoinette Beck. Look it up on the internet. It is 16 minutes to 1 o'clock, 16 minutes to 1. Day 81, 284 to go, March 22nd, 2026. This day in 2025, All Black number 8, Alex Griswiley dies.
You've got to be strong to keep it very long, to play like a man, do everything you can in the name of the game and the Canterbury Lamb. Fight, fight, fight for the land. Try, try, try all you can. Don't ever yield.
It was a because on this day in 1912, actor and Oscar winner Carl Malden was born. The streets of San Francisco playing with the course of Michael Douglas. Carl Malden died in 2009. This day in 2005, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is grilled over COVID Partygate. On this dateline in 1912, Irish actor Wilfred Bramble. He was, of course, Albert Steptoe, and he played a role as Paul McCartney's grandfather on A Hard Day's Night. He was born that day. He died in 1985. Back in time, this day in 1930, composer Stephen Sondheim was born. He died in 2021.
Let me entertain you. Let me make you smile. Let me do a few tricks, some old and then some new tricks.
In music this day, 1994, the AIDS took Dan Hartman out of action. Yes, he died this day in 1984, age 43. He was a member of the Edgar Winner Group.
You set my lips on fire.
And it was this day in 1936, singer Roger Whittaker was born in Africa. He died in 2023. Let's go back to 1969 and sing and play the song he was well famous for, among many. This is The Leaving of Durham Town, the late Roger Whittaker.
I've gotta leave old Durham Town. I've gotta leave old Durham Town. I've gotta leave old Durham Town. And that leaving's gonna get me down. Back in 1944, I remember Daddy walking out the door. Mama told me he was going to war. He was leaving. Leaving, 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 leaving me. Now I gotta leave old Durham Town. I've gotta leave old Durham Town. I've gotta leave old Durham Town. And that leaving's gonna get me down. When I was a boy, I spent my time sitting on the banks of the River Tyne, watching all the ships going down the line. They were leaving, 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 leaving me. Now I've gotta leave old Durham Town. I've gotta leave old Durham Town.
gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me down. Last week Mama passed away, goodbye son was all she'd say. There's no call for me to stay, so I'm leaving, 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 leaving free. Now I've gotta leave old Durham town, I've gotta leave old Durham town, I've gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me. I've gotta leave old Durham town, I've gotta leave old Durham town, I've gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me. La 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 la.
The late Roger Whittaker on Cosmopolitan News and Views, Durham Town. We'll find another track from Roger Whittaker before we go at 2 o'clock. New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, March 22, 1978. Boney M was number one with Rivers of Babylon, and number 27, Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams, Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. Mathis, popular vocalist in the 50s and 60s. He was named by the BBC as one of the greatest soul singers ever. He was also queer, LGBTQ. Yes, he was gay. That is Johnny Mathis. What a wonderful voice. It's 9:01. Here is Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams.
Yes, it's over, call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend, we knew it had to end someday. This way.
Guess it's over.
FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. That is Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams, Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. We're remembering Alex Wiley, who died this day in 2023. We were trying to find some stuff with Alex Wiley in it, but we have found this. You may remember this. Let's try it.
Trouble?
Not looking for any.
Can I give you a lift?
Yeah, great.
Quite a team, thanks, mate.
Say, don't I know you?
Don't I know you?
You're not Welsh, are you?
That is the late Grizz Wiley in an ad for Mitre 10. It's 4 minutes to one, and here is Grizz Wiley along with his teammates from the Canterbury rugby team.
You've got to be good to win the log of wood. You've got to be strong to keep it very long. To play like a man, do everything you can in the name of the game and the Canterbury Lamb. Fight, fight, fight for the land. Try, try, try all you can. Don't ever yield in the name of the game and the Ranfurly Shield. Fight, fight, fight for the land. Try, try, try all you can. Don't ever yield in the name of the game and the Ranfurly Shield. Remember the day we took the shield away. The fire of the men who wore the jersey then and played like the team that made all Hawkeye seem like a rooster that used to have just ran out of steam. Fight, fight, fight for the land.
That is the Canterbury rugby team along with their late Grizz Wiley, and that is from 1970. That is the name of the game. Going back to that to Mitre 10 ad with Grizz Wiley, there's a certain familiar voice in that particular ad. Can you pick it up? Let's play more of it.
We'll introduce you. Morning, John.
Good morning, Alex. Working bee?
Yeah. John, he owns the store. Good bloke. John, this is Windsor Davis. A bitch. Polish.
At Mitre 10, you'll get a special kind of extra service because the person who runs the store owns the store with a personal stake in making sure you always get the best every time. Guaranteed.
Yes, the one and only, that is Windsor Davies. Yes, the late Windsor Davies now, they're both gone. It is sad, isn't it? And I remember that ad from, it must be over 10 years ago because Sir Windsor Davies was a very popular Welsh actor. And, of course, his most most famous role is this one, of course, It Ain't Off Hot Mum, playing Major Shut Up Williams. And, of course, he did a number one record in 1975 along with Don Estelle, the late Don Estelle. They're both gone. It is so sad. Remember this? Yeah.
Promise me, green grass, not to tell what you were. Whispering grass, say, you can't keep your word. Keep your word, sing lofty.
Why do you whisper, green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees Guess you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Trees don't need to know.
Don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Oh yes, you told them once before, and it is no secret anymore. I will not have gossip in this jungle.
Trees don't need to.
There's a ship lies rigged and ready in the harbor. Tomorrow for old England she sails, far away from your land of endless sunshine, to my land full of rainy skies and gales. And I shall be aboard that ship tomorrow, though my heart is full of tears at this farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. I heard there's a wicked war a-blazing, and the taste of war I know so very well. Even now I see the foreign flag a-raising, their guns on fire as we sail into hell. I have no fear of death, it brings no sorrow, but how bitter will be this last farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. Though death and darkness gather all about me, and my ship be torn apart upon the sea, I shall smell again the fragrance of these islands, the heaving waves that brought me once to thee. And should I return safe home again to England, I shall watch the English mist roll through the dell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. And I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell.
FM 89.0, Cosmopolitan News and Views, going out on radio, online, all over the world. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. It's 1:05. The late Roger Whittaker, born this day, 1936. He was born in Kenya. Yes, he's Kenyan-born, and a last farewell, more from him later on. Stand by. We're going to play for you some bagpipes, and then we're going to have a bit of a word with Dwayne Porter.
All right, quick, out.
He's asked me to play one of the Scottish national anthems. Here we go. That is the pipes and drums of the military band of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guard, Scotland the Brave and the Black Bear. Well, one of the birthdays we are remembering is Wilfred Bramble. He was born this day in 1912, Irish born. He was also gay, queer, LGBTQ, got into trouble too along the way. He was Albert Steptoe and Steptoe's son. If you look at pictures of Albert, you see him as a rag and bone man, but he was well dressed when he was not playing Albert. He also appeared as Paul McCartney's grandfather in A Hard Day's Night, along with Harry H. Corbett, of course. It's 1:08. Sorry about that. That was Steptoe and Son. We pressed the wrong button. But before we talk to Dwayne Porter, just note that the former prosecutor Robert Mueller has died. He was around 81. He had been suffering from Parkinson's disease. And this is what President Trump, reacting to the news of, and this is from The Hill, former special counsel Robert Mueller's, by writing on True Social that he was glad he's dead, reflecting his continued disdain for Mueller's probe into Russian interference and the Trump campaign in the 2016 presidential election. Robert Mueller just died, he wrote. Good, I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. Well, Mr. Trump, that is the worst. That is the worst of the worst from you. The man, he knew what was going on in the Trump administration and the... Boy, that really... We'll talk with Gary about that very, very shortly. But good afternoon, Dwayne.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Just to tell us how the petrol prices are going.
The petrol prices are about $3.48.
So that's... Is that the main petrol stations or is that all of them?
That's most of them. Most of them about $3.68.
So is the fuel... prices like at the supermarkets, are they still specialising in fuel?
Yep, they are specialised in fuel, and so they'll be going up to about $4 very soon.
Yeah, you've just got to watch it because these fuel prices might go up and down in the next few weeks.
Yeah, as I say, there's a petrol boat arriving in this afternoon, so she'll be sailing again late tomorrow night, and then we've got another one arriving in on Monday morning.
Yeah, so, it doesn't sound too wonderful at the moment, does it, because of an illegal war?
Yeah, so it doesn't sound too good, but sounds like that the once these two boats are coming in, they'll have another two more arriving in, and then they'll be filling up the South Island as far as Nelson, as far as to Invercargill. So what they're trying to do is now is they're trying to get from Marsden Point, they're filling Marsden Point, and then they've got to drop in about another 30,000 litres into Port Tauranga tomorrow, and then it's going straight to Wellington because Wellington's run out of petrol.
Yeah, it sounds... Well, look for price rises amongst food, bus travel, Ubers, taxi drivers in the next few weeks.
But it's all cause of National, Mr. Chris Luxon. It's all caused by him, he's done.
We'll talk more about that a little later, but first of all, here comes some reaction against Donald Trump. This is from Fox News, of saying that he's glad that Robert Mueller's dead. President Donald Trump drew harsh criticism from Fox News viewers after he posted on social media celebrating the death of former FBI director Robert Mueller, who died of age 81 after being diagnosed with Parkinson's. As I said, Trump said he's glad Mueller's dead, and Fox viewers told, in no uncertain terms to Fox, they are not happy about what he said. And the word, good, I'm glad he's dead, said Trump. He can no longer hurt innocent people. Are you innocent, Mr. Trump? Which Fox covered on their X account, triggering numerous responses. One user questioned, what makes the president say such inhumane thing about someone who's just died and not think of him as family who might be grieving at this time? There's more to come. We'll talk with Gary very shortly. We'll talk shortly to Mel, who's just arrived in the studio.
Anyone who do
89.0, independent community media. That is ABBA and Dancing Queen. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon. Gary Schofield is our political commentator. It's all the world wants, really, Gary. President Trump won't long tolerate any country clogging oil's export down the Strait of Hormuz by threats or actual attack on the tankers that ship oil out to the West. Their passage is essential to stabilize the economy of nations that depend on oil, like our own. How a powerful president as Mr. Trump deals with the belligerent Ayatollahs of Iran to keep the smooth supply of oil coming down the Persian Gulf is a conundrum. On one hand, President Trump is asking other nations to join America in escorting cargo ships exercising their right of free passage on the high seas. While on the other, Mr. Trump has thousands of American troops battle-ready to land on enemy ground if the president so commands. We wonder which it's to be. Not to forget that Iran shares a land border with Afghanistan and Pakistan, which are at war themselves. Then there's the startling Iranian missile attacks on a British overseas territory, the Indian Ocean island of Diego Garcia, demonstrating Iran's ability to launch long-range missiles to reach, potentially, London, 4,000 kilometres away. We ask our political commentator, Gary Schofield, how anyone can predict the outcome of such a political maelstrom.
Well, there are, and wonderful introduction, thank you, Mel, there are ways that you can predict the likelihood. So when a country in its strategic wisdom is giving you what they're about to do, so for example, President Trump has said he's looking to wind down the operation, that is the kind of thing you would say if you're preparing to wind up the operation. And I do believe that he is obviously preparing a ground force to take the landward side, the Iranian side of the Strait of Hormuz, in an effort to, as you say, unclog the strait. So in the interim, of course, what we've had, and you alluded to that, is that should, and this is a threat without stating it, by explaining to the world that Iran has a missile capable of 4,000 kilometer radius. If you look at a map of the world from where Iran is, that can reach London, and major cities in Europe. So that is a statement. And the other statement that you didn't mention that he made was when he attacked in Israel. And it, by the way, this missile went through the missile shield and struck a building near the nuclear facility. So should that be a direct hit and cause a nuclear crisis for Israel, for example, that would be an enormous escalation. So the potential that Iran has is great. And by the way, the missile that they're using, I believe, especially for the Diego Garcia attack, which, by the way, is British territory, UK. It is a US base, but, you know, the Brits are involved. So it's Koromasha missile. So should there be an attack that escalated to a nuclear stance in the future, and by the way, it's a little bit further in the future than people are expecting, because it's going to take till April to get any amphibious invasion underway. And in that time, of course, the price of oil could go through the roof. So remarkably, and this is the other news item for the week that people haven't quite heard, is that President Trump, who is at war with Iran, has actually taken the sanctions off Iranian oil, which is a huge step. I would probably say a little humiliating to have to do that. And just looking at, and I have to, right, from a military point of view, look at worst case scenario. Should it indeed be that Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, decides on a nuclear option, the Samson option, if Israel is under such duress, and does strike Iran, there is an agreement, according to the Iranians and other sources, that Pakistan is guaranteeing the safety, nuclear safety, of Iran. Pakistan is a nuclear power. Iran is not. Iran is being attacked by two nuclear powers. Should they strike Iran, Pakistan may launch a nuclear weapon at Israel. Pakistan and India are in a almost constant state of war, certainly alert, and today with first strike technology, they can't be 100% sure that those missiles that are flying towards Israel are flying towards them. You get the picture that we're on the edge of a very dangerous world and how this is going to play out.
Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon, Bruce. Wonderful to hear your voice.
I'm just thinking these rockets reminds me of the days of V1 and V2 rockets that came over the English Channel. They, at a time, they went silent and dropped on London, etc., etc. It's this is similar to World War II and the current crisis.
And the lesson that was learnt from that was that regardless of the amount of bombing, the resilience of the British people, the population, the civilians themselves, who were under such bombardment, remained strong and defiant and actually more defiant. So since World War II, the United States Air Force and other factions have ostensibly, I should say, wanted to be able to win a war with air power alone, and that is not necessary. It hasn't been done. So this would be the first success, should it be so, but it doesn't look as if that is happening. In fact, the regime change seems to be a change with much more virulent and revengeful nature than the one that we had before
and so far. And of course, those Nazi scientists who invented the V1s and the V2s, they were taken to the USA by the Americans, and they became part of what is now the space race.
Absolutely. Quite right. And that is the difference of when you come into a country and you occupy it, and that gives you that leverage. This is not the same in this case. Those scientists are still remaining in Iran and can pursue a program. So it is, those lessons from World War II are important to listen to. But on the other hand, Trump has begun a form of negotiation. So by saying, no, we're not going to attack your oil, and telling Benjamin Netanyahu, please don't attack the oil facilities of Iran. And that's almost tantamount to the beginning of a conversation, which is almost like negotiation, which may lead somewhere, but I'm not that optimistic.
Yep.
There are still glimmers of hope, and I like to bring them up, that there could be a U-turn and realize that the enormous wealth and power and prestige of the aircraft carriers and those great big, very vulnerable amphibious landing ships have all been taken from somewhere. And where is that? From Asia. So we don't want a remaining imbalance of power in Asia, because that could also provoke a war over Taiwan.
Yeah, okay.
just putting the whole picture together, Mel has said that I'm a little gloomy, and please don't take it as gloom, because I said all this was a terrible idea before it happened. But take it as cautionary, knowing the possibilities of the future that we could avoid them.
Okay, I'm just quoting from a paper in America called The Hill. You probably heard of that publication.
And, yes, I know it well.
And Robert Mueller's just died, wrote Donald Trump on Truth Social. Good, I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. That is the most pathetic comment from a pathetic president. Your comment?
Oh, my comment is never say ill of the dead, and never wish people dead. That's how I go through life. I try and make my existence, and at the end of it, you have to look back and work out if you are worth being on this planet. Are you making it better, or are you making it worse? And if you're making it worse, then really there hasn't been any point in you being here.
Yep.
So I, as a general rule, don't do that. He has political reasons for what he says. When he calls nations cowards, he doesn't really mean they're cowards. That would be individual. He himself hasn't fought in a war personally, if you're looking at that. But he does have an agenda for saying it. And the agenda for this one, and this comment, as I see it, is he feels that he was attacked by a very powerful man at a very vulnerable time, and he was facing, as you know, impeachment. He was facing bankruptcy. He was facing jail. Mueller was one of those that attacked him, and he felt it was unfair. So I guess that's what is behind that comment.
Yep, I'm just saying.
Because he was innocent. He wasn't. Trump was innocent. The Steele document was a fake, right? The Steele dossier that said that he was in league with Putin was manufactured. So on the basis of that, the Mueller report and the Russiagate and everything else turned out to be a dreadful attack on President Trump that he obviously still feels resentful.
I quite understand, but of course people have been calling into Fox News, of course, which is President Trump's favourite political television station, and of course
sometimes he doesn't like it. Depends what they're saying.
But also there's feedback from the Democrats, as they do. And also another thing too, that Robert Mueller was also he was also a Republican, but the thing that got me, because he was suffering, of course, from Parkinson's disease, and as you and I know, Parkinson's is a very, very serious health risk, and of course people do die from it. And I've known people in the past who have died from Parkinson's disease, and it is not.
Me too. It's a tragedy.
Yeah. So there's lots going on. Hey, let's get back to the. Did you see the night glow last night with the balloons over Waikato?
I didn't have the pleasure because I was at the wonderful Whangaparoa region enjoying balmy weather from the middle of summer, and. So I'm sorry I missed that. One of the attractions of the Waikato is, of course, the ballooning, I think. It's terrific to see those, and they hover above my house all the time. I always wave.
I was caught up in the traffic chaos last night around Old Farm Road and Cameron Road and all those roads by the warehouse, etc. I was caught up in it trying to get home in my Uber last night, and boy, my Uber driver was not a happy man, because there was road cones all over the place. But yeah, good on Waikato for hosting a great event overnight.
I agree. Good on that. And everybody should also be attentive to the fact that we in the Southern Hemisphere have a wonderful and spectacular night sky as well. And one of the things that became very apparent to me, being up here as a little boy, where there were very few lights and you could see the depth of the spaciousness of them and the majesty of the Milky Way and all the constellations. And I, to my pleasure, the other night, I managed to find what's called the Magellanic Cloud. And I could see it with my eyes, which is actually our nearest galaxy. It's not the Milky Way. It's a little satellite galaxy outside of the Milky Way. And I could still see that despite all the light pollution. So, yes, everybody should look up in the evenings, and especially in rural areas, at the majesty of our universe.
Yeah, we're going to play a song about the Northern Lights, which is, of course, the Aurora Borealis, which happens over Europe, the greens and the blues and the pinks and all that. We're going to play a song about that shortly. Hey, Gary, thank you for your time today. How's Stuart?
Always a pleasure.
How's Stuart?
He's doing very well. He's helping me with a little legal case, and he's doing his own independent legal work, so he's doing well.
Yes, I do hear a lot of legal eagles on American online television at the moment, like Glenn Kirshner and others, and boy, they do their work. It seems I don't sleep.
They do. Interestingly, in the United States, as opposed to New Zealand, most of Congress people are lawyers. They all come from lawyer background in the majority, whereas New Zealand used to be made up of people that were all different walks of life, some trade union people, some farming people. But today we're seeing more and more interest in the legality of governance. Hey. So, which is a bit of a shame, yeah, I think, by the way. Not to say anything about, you know, against lawyers in general, but, you know, there are other ways of looking at the world.
I better not say anything against Stuart and his, him being a lawyer. He might not talk to me again, so...
he is a lawyer I trust. Don't worry.
Hey, let's go look in the sky in those northern lights of Aberdeen. This is Robert Wilson coming up. Well, next week we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and its reaction, because there are some feedback coming in from all those Supreme Court judges, and it's not good for Trump. We'll talk about that next week, hopefully.
I believe you. Right, look forward to that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Anyway, let's look back in the sky. You've seen the night glow. And we go to Europe and the Northern Lights of Aberdeen. Here is the late Robert Wilson, Jimmy Shan and his band.
The Northern Lights of old Aberdeen mean home, sweet home for me. The Northern Lights of Aberdeen are what I long to see. I've been a wanderer all my life, and many a sight I've seen. Godspeed, what day when I'm on my way to my home in Aberdeen. When I was a lad, a tiny wee lad, my mother said to me, come see the northern lights, my boy, they're bright as they can be. She called them the heavenly dancers, merry dancers in the sky. I'll never forget that wonderful sight. They made the heavens
FM 89.0, talking about the Aurora Borealis, the late Robert Wilson and Jimmy Shan and his band, the Northern Lights of Aberdeen, Mel.
Sister Barbara Cameron is regarded as a warrior for peace and justice, having spent time sharing the life of the Palestinians together with a group of women who were international and concerned for the fate of that country. In all those years since, Sister Barbara, has their fate looked any better than it does today? Families living in broken buildings, enduring cold conditions in tents over winters, under attack by Israel. Sister Barbara?
Well, sadly, there's no difference, really. If anything, if the situation is so much worse, as people who in New Zealand who knew nothing about it before 2023 would have seen the news coverage we had of the Gaza conflict, the Gaza genocide. This occupation, military occupation by Israel, has gone on since 1948, and it has just got worse, sadly. And now, as it continues, even under the truce that was signed in October 2025, even since then, there have been nearly 700 people in Gaza killed. Not to mention the number killed on the West Bank, which is continually being colonized by the Israeli government. So more of their land gone, more of their people killed, and it continues even during this time of truce, with no consequences for the actions taken by the occupying force of Israel.
On and on it goes, and yet it fades from the headlines with the developments down in the Persian Gulf, so that Gaza is hardly mentioned.
That's a sad reality too, and so sad that our world is in such a mess because of the actions of one or two countries. And as long as that continues, the smaller countries that are suffering horrific war and conflict and mass killings, that just goes unrequited without an end in sight, and absolutely no repercussions from the international community, who really need to step up and take action.
Hamilton,
and follow through.
Hamilton has recently formed an organization called Palestine Awareness Waikato. Do we, who live in a democratic country, easily understand the political, religious, or historical context of how a people of a particular kind, in this case the Palestinians, can lose almost all their entire homeland?
That's right. You said Palestine Awareness Group has recently formed to raise awareness. Palestine solidarity has been going for many years. And in 2014, a group of us set up the Palestine Human Rights Waikato group to focus on the human rights, because it is a humanitarian situation. And regardless of our political associations or religious affiliations, anything at all, we are all human, and the humanitarian plight of any group of any people in the world should be the concern of all of us.
Barbara, do you think that Iran is now focusing on Iran rather than the Gaza, and they can't be everywhere?
Who is focusing on it? You mean media?
What I'm saying is Israel is now focusing on Israel along with America, because Israel is leading the attack on Iran, and this has taken the focus off of the Gaza Strip.
Yes. What we have to be aware of, too, is that Israel is at the same time attacking Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. And again, as long as the focus shifts, I mean, Israel could do what it liked in Gaza, even when all the focus was on Gaza and nobody stepped up. A lot of words were said, but no actions taken. And now with Iran, well, that's just a perfect cover for continuing to do whatever Israel wants to do, including attacking Lebanon.
Did you read somewhere, and I read somewhere, that Jared Kushner is in the Gaza area for his father-in-law, the President of the United States?
Well, as we know, he is Jewish. He's got Jewish origins, Kushner. And he was the one who managed to get the American embassy transferred from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in the previous Trump presidency.
Yeah.
So I can't expect a lot from when two sides are at odds. You can't have one of the sides deciding how the reconciliation, how the peace, how the things are going to work out. You need a mediator. Yeah. You don't have this one side in the conflict deciding what the outcome will be.
We've just passed another anniversary of the massacre. And it's surprising, do you think, that there isn't the hatred that one would think natural that accompanies such a public airing of grief. How do you think it augurs for the future, the relationship between those who follow Islam and people of different faiths?
Well, I think regardless of what your faith is, if you have faith or if you have no faith, as I said, we're all human beings. We're all born under the sun, same sun and sky. And we have a duty of care to one another, regardless of colour or race or religion or anything else. And I think we had the most beautiful lesson last Sunday with the group marking the anniversary of that terrible event, the mosque attack in 2015, when those people, Muslims, but also many people, Christchurch people, as I said, possibly of no faith and other faiths or whatever, could come out and share that same positive, hopeful message of, if you look at their placards, things like love and peace and unity, and some of the people interviewed in that march just saying, well, love is stronger than hate. Forgiveness is the answer.
Yep, there is hate out there.
I think personally we could all take that on board. And at the level, at the international level, if some of those world leaders could take that on board, the world would be a different place today.
Yep, of course there's still online hate to the former Prime Minister, Dame Jacinda Ardern, and her actions during COVID. And oh, there's a bit of it of the aftermath of the Christchurch mosque attack and other bits and pieces. So online, there is hate out there.
That's why it's up to each of us. You know, the problem can look so big we can sort of be paralysed and think, well, there's nothing I can do sitting at home, say. But in actual fact, as Etty Hillesum, that Dutch Jewish girl during World War II, said, she wrote in her diaries, when they were under the Nazi occupation of their land during World War II, she said, peace will come when each person has peace in his or her heart. I remember being so struck by that line when I read her book many years ago. She wasn't saying peace will come when the Allies free us from the Nazis, but peace will come when each of us has peace in his or her heart. So it's up to each one of us in our own personal lives, in our own homes, in our workplaces, in our social groups, in the online media, to be promoters of peace and love and unity. And eventually, love will triumph. Peace will triumph. Justice will triumph.
And that sentiment carries on today among a younger generation who are encouraged by what's been set up between authorities such as police and immigration and people of different faiths to reflect race unity. And the speeches are held annually, and this year's for our region, Waikato, they'll be split between Tuesday and Thursday nights, starting at 6:30 at the Centre of the Baha'i in Hamilton off Holland Road. And that's an opportunity for young people to say what they make of the world they find themselves part of. The public are welcome to listen to the secondary school pupils' speeches on Tuesday or Thursday at 6:30 each night. And they will deliver their speeches, some hoping to go on to the national finals. Thank you, Sister Barbara Cameron, for joining us on Free FM 89.0 in your quest for peace and understanding and reconciliation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to... She talks sense, because this is a problem that everybody is facing. What is going to happen next? And it's the flow and effects with high prices and food, and you do feel for all these people around the world as they suffer because of the actions of a few men or women too. So we can't forget that woman do cause a few problems too. It's 2:15. This is Paul McCartney and Wings. Let's go to Scotland again on the Mull of Kintyre.
Mull of Kintyre, oh miss, strolling in from the sea. My desire is always to be, oh Mull of Kintyre. Travel and much have I seen, dark distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mull of Kintyre. Kintyre, oh mist rolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be here, oh Mull of
Kintyre. 9 weeks in the UK. That is Paul McCartney and Wings and the Mull of Kintyre. He lived in the area for a while with his late wife, Linda. It's 2:12. That sold many, 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 many copies of that particular song. And I think a few people like Susan Boyle's done it and others have done it too. It is coming up to 2:12, Mel.
And Dwayne Porter has some details about shipping. I wonder how much it's going to be affected by the international crisis in fuel.
Heaps.
How?
Well, Mel, you look at it now is that we've got a petrol boat arriving in Lake Marston Point yesterday, arriving in Tauranga about 4:45, and she'll be unloading until 11 o'clock tomorrow night. And then another one's coming in again on Monday.
And does that interfere with the schedules that they are trying to follow?
Yes, it is. It's interfering. They are on schedule to get this fuel in. So whatever's going to come into the wharf, they will leave them out in the sea and get the petrol boats arriving in to get it unloaded. At the moment, the tanks in Tauranga are nearly empty.
You've got a ship that came from Napier, going to China.
Yep.
Carrying logs.
Yep.
Yes, that's the Ken Olive. And the Ed Grand, that's due, I think. No, I don't know that it is, sorry. So, anything to add?
Yes, Mel. We've got a log boat arriving in. I'm looking at it now. She arrived in just before. We had another container boat, another general freight boat. So what is that? There's about four petrol boats arriving in. The second boat that is coming in, that's coming in from Papua New Guinea, off fuel, and that's going to Tauranga and then from Tauranga down to Nelson. So all the tanks in Nelson are nearly empty.
Very well. Thank you for your report.
And just so that also it is a shortage, but they are well on time at the moment to try and get the petrol boats and the fuel into the tanks. As you see, most service stations ran out overnight. So hopefully, as a petrol crisis is going to happen, hopefully we can get it back to normal again next week.
We'll talk to you again next week at 3FM. Let's go back to 2004, and this is Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, the song he sung at the memorial service for the mosque massacre victims.
Thinking about the world as it is, Why can't we live in bliss? About the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good.
We're going to leave you shortly after Trevor. Could go play another Roger. We're going to leave you with Roger Whittaker because he was born this day in Kenya. He of course died not so long ago. We'll remember another song from Roger Whittaker very, very shortly. But time for Trevor's talk. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. Commercials on television, a necessary evil. It keeps the need for TV licensing. I find them so annoying, some of them, and so unintelligent. I would be happy to pay a TV license to reduce these type of ads. Some of them are so ridiculous, particularly the Spark one, where the car goes into two halves. I can't quite figure out what that's all about. But having said that, there are some TV ads I find very interesting and quite cute, particularly where that involve pets and animals, particularly cats, and the type of food they feed them and so on. They're only on for a short while, and they very rarely come on the TV ads, but the annoying ads are drawn out and they go on forever and a day, and they're quite nauseating, and they're on just about every ad break.
How much would you pay for a TV license up to?
Whatever that cost may be, just so I can have more enjoyment for your programs on TV without having to go for the duration of it.
Yep.
Lucky I'm an artist and I've got my pictures propped up around my lounge as a diversion while the ads are on. Then I can switch back to TV.
Yeah, no, our friend, the late John Terris, agreed with me that New Zealand, like the BBC, needs to have a charter. And it's renewed every 5 years or so. And they do not have commercials on BBC at all in Britain because they're funded by the charter and, of course, the TV license. So ITV, on the other hand, is a commercial, so it does have commercials. But BBC, we should follow what the Biebs does.
In fact, I would be quite happy to work in an advertising company that does ads for TV. I'm sure I couldn't do any worse.
Well, you could make your own TV ads, Trevor.
Trevor, yeah, I was thinking about the changes people of your vintage and mine face in a world that now relies on artificial intelligence, it seems, more and more.
Mm.
How do you engage with that new age, and what do you have in your life that...
Well, it was quite scary, and I'm glad I was born when I was. Otherwise, I'd be worried about my financial future because I probably wouldn't have a job. AI is going to take away so many jobs. I mean, email has got me out of a job, and I can remember in the last days before the mail centre closed down, how stressed out a lot of the workers were. They had homes and mortgages, and now they've got no job prospects ahead of them. Some have got an opportunity to go to Auckland and into the unknown. The house prices are a lot higher. And I could see the stress around me, but I was one of the lucky ones because I'd already done 50 years service and I've been in the super scheme from day one.
Yeah.
And on the pension, I was financially secure, but I felt sorry for the young ones there, not in that boat.
You talk about the pension. We're getting a rise next month, I believe, April 1, April Fool's Day. We're going to get a rise.
It's not an April Fool's trick, is it?
Hey, remember before Christmas, we were all informed that we were going to get a Christmas bonus, and then the government had to shut that down. So, but another thing with AI, of course, CBS News, which has just been taken over by the Yotties, the Ellison brothers, remember them from America's Cup? Well, CBS is losing staff. They're putting off staff, and they're going to have people, I think, with AI reading the news.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got rid of a lot of journalists are going, all to praise Donald Trump. He wants to take over the media.
Oh, that's a dangerous man.
Hey!
We might as well subscribe to, what's it called, the stars and the people who follow their movements, believing that we can read into the stars our fate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting thought.
well, my star sign is Aquarius, but I don't believe what's written in the papers. And I know people who look at their horoscopes when they first pick up the paper. And just a note here, I was told this week that the newspapers will no longer be available in the warehouse. Everybody's reading the papers online. Hey, thanks, boys. It's time to go. Going to leave you with wildlife campaigner Roger Whittaker and the New World in the Morning. We'll catch you back next week. Bye, guys.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.